All right, so I think the first thing that we need to do is get B. Michael Geary's reaction to Joe Biden's decision to appoint Kamala Harris as his vice president. What are the implications of this for the race?
Well, it's a sticky situation for the Democrats, where Kamala Harris came out boisterously against President Vice President Biden. See, I'm not even smart enough to do this impression.
Hey guys, we're here to do a little quick update on the situation here with the Kirk Minahan show. I think a little bit better news than the last time that we came in here to do this.
Yes. Deion Sanders will be in 5 days a week. Filling in.
Exactly. So now I talked with Kirk on Sunday and I texted with him a little bit today. I think he's feeling a little bit better. I would say I'm more encouraged after talking with him recently. And I think that we'll be sure to let you guys know if there's anything else that develops with that situation. But I would say I'm much happier and more positive thinking than I was immediately post the Sacco live show.
So do we know anything more about, because people have been very curious about these updates and how frequently we'll do them or be able to do them. And I don't know. I haven't known what to tell anyone. Really? Because we're kind of doing as much as we can, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, there's really no sense to come in here and say we're doing an update if we don't have anything to update them
right.
with. You know, I mean, we have an actual, a change in the forecast for the Kirk Minahan show. So I guess that's what, brought this about. And Kirk also on Sunday said he would be fine with us coming in here and doing a little bit of an update, talking about some of the issues that the Kirk Minahan show would generally talk about. Under more normal circumstances. So.
It's been a funny lesson on trolling, I guess. I don't know if that's the right word, but the amount of people that are like, I'd even love it if Mike and Steve did an hour a day. It's like, well, you're lying to yourself. You'd hate it after 1 minute.
Exactly. It shows just how desperately they're fiending. I know I've made the drug addict reference before to Minifans, but entirely in a positive way, that the show is like heroin. And so we're now, what, 2 or 3 weeks removed from their last hit? And now they're just
the
like...
methadone mild.
Yeah, no, now they're just like, they're looking for bath salts. They're like they're like John McAfee at this point. They're looking for anything. They don't care what it is.
I mean, I immediately want to go on Twitter and be like, fuck you, you don't know what you're talking about. But it's like, oh, well, they just want to hear from us and they missed the show. So I guess it's flattering in a way. So I get too worked up about it. I was very emotional on Mike and the Minifans. I don't know if you could tell.
Yes, I can tell. I appreciate the...
Sometimes I need a few days to gear down, you know?
I appreciate the defense, but it was a little dramatic, just a touch dramatic.
That's my style.
So I guess, other than that, I don't know if there are things... kind of in the Minifan world that people would like to hear about. I know Matt Carano and his lovely wife are stalking the perimeter of their home with their firearms, hunting for people who are threatening them vaguely through Twitter accounts.
I did not realize what I was playing a part in. Carano messaged me and was like, hey, would you mind retweeting this? And I was like, sure. It seems like a friendly charity you're working on. I had no idea what this debate was that Carano was trying to orchestrate at the time, but it seems like it's getting pretty serious.
It seems, as far as I could tell, and this would not be the first time that I've come in half-assed on some inter-Minifan-Mincel dispute and just made everything worse, but it seems to me that there are some people who are very upset with Matt Carano and have been trolling him and trying to provoke him and even threatening him and doing some just like really stupid, awful things.
Yeah, I don't know enough about it to get really in the weeds on it, but I know, I mean, Carano's a good guy.
Like, yeah, he might overreact
on Twitter sometimes, like we all do, but Carano's genuinely, at least to me, has always been a very nice guy. But I think it's and we saw this kind of last time there was a break in the show where people start to fucking, you need an enemy, and if we're not going fire K Marco or whatever the fuck, then it's infighting. It's all infighting, and people attack each other.
And I guess other than that, the only thing people have been asking me for my reaction to the big news yesterday that Kamala Harris is going to be Joe Biden's vice president. I guess I think that Trump's response that this is a huge gift is kind of a natural response, and that's what you say. It's a little bit of reverse psychology. I think it's one of those decisions that in hindsight was totally inevitable. And even though they got nasty during the Democrat primary, she was going to be the pick. But it's clear now that this is the Harris administration.
But how do they? I'm not trying to be Mikey politics here, but how do they avoid the fact that she called him a racist predator, basically? Like, how do they, because Trump's going to tweet that every fucking day. Like, how do they avoid that?
So you have to understand that the mainstream media is already, already got their hymnals. Yeah. I mean, they call the press team around Kamala is referred to as the K-Hive. and the K-Hive are work very closely with members of the mainstream corporate media. And I mean, just yesterday, every single news media outlet reacting to it was, "Oh, she's a moderate. She's a pragmatist." When she's anything but. I mean, she has just, you know, objectively very radical positions, but the mainstream media is going to never ask that question. You know, she said she believes Joe Biden's accusers. So naturally, you would think the first question of the vice presidential debate would be,
how can you work with this guy?
Senator Harris, do you still believe his accusers, and how do you justify it morally working for him? But she'll never be asked that question. And I don't think Mike Pence will ever bring it up, because I don't think he has the same combative style that Donald Trump has.
That's disappointing. That'd be some real fireworks. But she's not actually African American. I'm wondering how quickly Biden messes that up.
Now this is going to be another big debate on, you know, like I guess Black Twitter. Is she sufficiently I mean, if you worship at the altar of identity politics, does Kamala Harris satisfy you? Because she's part Indian, part Jamaican. And I don't know. She's
not good enough, I say.
She's got a
pretty, we want the real deal.
She's got a pretty terrible record on woke politics. If you look at what she did as the
people
the
she puts
DA
in prison,
San Francisco. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it just objectively, she's a libertarian's worst nightmare, because she's withheld evidence from defendants that would have helped them, you know, stay out of jail. She's been involved in drug lab scandals. You know, I mean, the meme is to refer to her as a cop, but I mean, she's not just a cop. She's not a law and order person. She's like a dirty cop. She's an authoritarian. And so I think the threat of her becoming a president, if there's like a 25th Amendment situation and they roust Joe Biden out, or if he passes away, or if he has to retire for whatever reason, President Harris, I think, has a potential to be a strong authoritarian, which is just, I don't think that's good. I think a lot of Democrats even don't favor necessarily the kind of authoritarianism that she brings about. I mean, she wanted religious tests for the judiciary, that if you're a member of the Knights of Columbus, you can't serve in the federal judiciary. I mean, she's like an anti-Christian bigot as well. But I guess the good news is that she's not going to be the attorney general.
That's great. More importantly, I think for the dumber sect like me, we just look at the fact, I don't like her laugh. I don't like her fucking cornball jokes.
Well, see, you're
like,
sexist.
She's just a real...
You're sexist.
Oh, God,
That's what you're going to get. You're
she's
gonna
always
be,
got a little anecdote for everything. It's
like, you're going to see the same routine that played out with Hillary, where if you criticize her as unlikable, or say that she's not funny, or say that she has a cackle, yes, you're a sexist, you're a misogynist. And it's probably going to work just about as well as it did for Hillary, to be honest, because there's only so many times that, you know, somebody like Mike Geary can be told he's a sexist. Sexist before he decides that he's going to vote for the guy who's like, hey, fuck this bitch.
Well, I think what she needs is Howard Stern to let her know how to change her image, because he's done it so great himself. He's one of the best people who's ever done it, that he should advise every woman how to change their image.
But see, that's another thing that you're going to see, is because she is a senator from California, and because she's got like, what's her name, Maya Rudolph, the SNL person, everyone's already like, oh, we're going to see such great skits from Maya Rudolph. But you're going to see Hollywood celebrity after Hollywood celebrity after Hollywood celebrity coming out and trying to make her more friendly, and doing YouTube videos and Snapchat videos and all this shit with her. And it's going to be like basically the same thing that happened with Hillary. They're just going to do that playbook again with her. And
there's never going to be.
I don't know if it's going to work.
Maya Rudolph can play a fine Kamala Harris, I guess. Like, she looks mildly enough like her. But is there anyone, has there been a good Obama sketch or a good Hillary sketch or
No, but that hasn't stopped people from pretending, right?
Or even a good Trump sketch. Like,
no,
there's not a good anti-Trump sketch. So they've just...
Alec Baldwin just like puckers his lips, squints his eyes, and you know, says ridiculous shit.
Yeah.
It's not funny at all.
No, the whole thing has been horrible for comedy, because they worship Democrats now and revile Republicans. So there's no comedy in there, because their real feelings just always bleed through.
And I guess, you know, the last thing that I would say on Kamala is that she's not really that bad of a pick conventionally, because most Democrats aren't on Twitter. They don't see how extreme she is. They're not going to think of like the Jesse Smollett thing, where she came out and called it a modern day lynching.
Because I've heard people call her too moderate.
I think there are some people, but they're the minority. I think like working class Democrats will just say, hey, here's a smart, attractive looking woman who represents the opposite of Trump. And, you know, I think that the the way the economy has headed, the pandemic, everything has just generated this kind of level of discontent and maybe a little bit of Trump fatigue. We'll see how it plays out. The other thing you have going on is people suggesting that we don't need to have presidential debates. I don't know if you've seen any of this, but like
this is not the time for them. You know, it's going to be
Bill Kristol, but they're not even invoking the pandemic. Bill Kristol from the Weekly Standard, who was like a big neoconservative, you know, was like part of the intellectual justification for the Iraq wars. He says that we've seen enough of Joe Biden on the public stage that, you know, we don't need debates.
That's just true. I can't believe that fucking video last week where he's like, in the Hispanic community, there's
diversity.
There's diversity. Yeah, exactly. The blacks don't have that. It's like, imagine Trump saying that. Culture.
Like there's, I mean, just time after time, there was maybe 2 weeks ago, Biden was talking to this black journalist, and the black journalist asked him about the cognitive test. So Joe Biden had said a month earlier, I'm taking this cognitive test all the time. And then Joe Biden then denies taking the cognitive test when asked about it, and accuses the black journalist of being a junkie. He's like, what are you, a junkie, man? See, I could say any kind of accusation like that. And it's like, just imagine. I mean, but that's the kind of double standard that it's the wind at Biden-Harris back.
But, you know, I mean, maybe not on that side, but I almost wonder if Biden would win people if he said shit like that. And then when he was called out on it, said, you know, that's kind of the problem with this country. That's one thing that Donald Trump does well, is that you can't speak anymore. Obviously, what I meant was this, but he doesn't have the sense to do that. Or maybe he'd get shit on by that side. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't think he has the sense to do it. Like, he's so programmed and scripted again. I mean, it's back to the elder abuse question now. Is it right for him to be put out here where he is, having obviously deteriorated mental faculties? Like they put out a picture of him yesterday on a Zoom call with Harris, and he had a list of talking points to get him through the phone call with his running mate. It's like he's so handled and so incapable of speaking for himself that he needs to have talking points for something as simple as that. But
I'm just worried about if the election takes like 9 months, what it's going to do to my fucking stocks. Are we going to kill the fucking economy? We're thriving now, baby. Trump's got me. Trump's got me running. Penn's at $50 a share.
I would say that. I mean, look what the market did yesterday when Harris was announced. I think she's probably one of the more Wall Street, like corporate friendly Democratic candidates that could have been picked. I mean, she's not Elizabeth Warren. She's not Bernie Sanders. I mean, I think if you saw Elizabeth Warren, you'd see an even steeper decline. But I think that the markets really like President Trump. They really like, a president talking about a capital gains tax, about a payroll tax cut. I think, I don't think it's going to be good. I think the uncertainty would be very bad if it was somehow challenged, if there's issues with mail-in voting or something like that.
That's what I'm worried about. Because we have been.
I think it would be a real problem.
And between Penn and your guys' apps, I've been thriving, baby.
Well, hey, I'm Stevie Stock Tips. What do you know? What do you want? I'd go buy Bitcoin now. That's what I would buy.
You should just stream yourself all day while we've got nothing to do here. Just start periscoping yourself all day.
Well, that's the other thing. I talked with Erica a little bit yesterday, and she thinks that I should do something with the Hard Factor Boys.
It'd be interesting. So they're not like, I don't think they know they're particularly biased. Like, I think they kind of look at themselves as down the middle. I do know I've listened to them a little more like lately. I started listening to them when we were on Sirius the same time as them. Yeah. And I've listened to them a little more, and I know like this is an example of something you'll hate. Like, remember that Mike Gundy OAN story?
He wore the OAN shirt and he got thrown out of town for it.
Yeah. So they were talking about that, and one of the guys brought up, he's like, well, I mean, you know, I think if a coach wore a Huffington Post shirt, it wouldn't be the story, and that's a real problem. And one of the other guys interjects and says, yeah, but OAN is like far right. Huffington Post is just unbiased news.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, Steve would really love this.
Yeah, I mean, I've listened to some stuff recently where I'm just like, oh, well, you know, here's where I could step in and just like, tell them what the situation is, because there are some instances where they're like, what is the payroll tax? And, you know, we could step in and just say like, well, this is objectively what it is. But they all seem like great guys.
It's more of a barstool type news show. They're not supposed to know as much as, say, you,
they're,
I guess.
They're kind of like a barstool version of The Hammer. Like they want to do Florida Man Friday. They want to do like, you know, here's this wacky story out of the Philippines. Like I I was always taught that it's like you have the 100-mile rule. Like if it's a crazy wacky news story about like, you know, a cat eating a woman, but it's happened further than 100 miles away, it's not of interest to your audience. But if something pops up on like, Reddit, funny but true or something, they'll go with it.
It would be great if they sucked you in, if you're like, boy, I really like these guys. It might get Kirk back quicker. If he can make fun of liberal Steve, you just are one of them now. Like you're making weekly appearances. We got Robinson Tuesdays here on Hard Factor.
Hey, I'm excited. I hope I get a chance to do a little bit of a lightning round.
I like it. I like the sound of
it. So the Minifans might get to see a little bit of SE, Hard Factor SE, I suppose.
So they do debates on their Sirius show, I think. I don't know if they still do, but I know when they started, they were doing daily debates, I think.
Oh, really?
If they could get you and Hartman on. That is a ratings boom. Something I could not do. I tried. I tried and failed.
So. I mean, Hartman, at this point, I think it's pretty clear, is avoiding.
He's avoiding. He's a coward.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
So, let me think. Is there anything else you
can
think of?
Speaking of Barstool, the big news, Deion Sanders.
Ah, yes. So, I mean, I think this is it'll sound trite, but another brilliant acquisition by Erica and Dave. I guess I didn't realize that he was kind of like a dynamic personality. Like I don't watch a lot of ESPN.
Would you have known who Deion Sanders was before?
Yeah. I'd have known him as a football player. Intimately familiar with his accomplishments and stats and everything, but I'd know that he was a football player, and I'd know that he did a little bit on ESPN.
Yeah.
And so I'm kind of vaguely familiar with him, but I watched a little bit of, you know, the content that they put out announcing it, and he seems like he's going to be a good fit for Barstool.
He's just a funny guy. I saw Jerry saying like, "Oh, Portnoy has no idea he's going to be the next enemy." Like, this guy, I guess he burned bridges at CBS and NFL Network now and everywhere he's been. I think that's a win-win for that. There's no loot. So if Deion Sanders comes on and blows up in 3 weeks and it doesn't work, then Portnoy just shits on him and pops another bottle of champagne like he did with fucking Peter Nelson the other day.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think there's always a chance that he could just blow up and become a wildly successful opportunity for them. A great podcast for him.
The only thing I thought was an odd fit when when me and Big Cat get to our show that we'll be doing every week soon, I'll ask him about this, because I think it's weird. The one thing I thought was strange is he's doing a weekly segment on Pardon My Take, and that seems like it doesn't really fit. And that seems like they're almost wedging it in there to say, hey, Deion's at Barstool. I don't know what the logic is there, because it almost seems like he's interrupting their show rather than the other way around.
I guess since Big Cat is arguably the most successful podcast personality in the history of podcasting, I would think he knows what he's doing.
His judgment?
Yeah. I would kind of trust his judgment there. But it would seem like you're taking a very popular brand and in some way changing it fundamentally if you're making it a weekly appearance.
Yeah. But I think I'm curious to see what they do with it. Cause that's like, I don't know if they plan on having a weekly NFL Sunday show now. I don't know. They could go a couple ways where now it becomes a more serious, like they're trying to be like ESPN or NFL Network or something like that? Or do they have Deion Sanders doing shit that he's never done before? And
I think that's the direction that they're heading in. I think that would be a little bit more exciting. And judging by his tone coming in that opening video, I think that's what they'd be doing. But have I missed the article from Deadspin or Huffington Post noting the hire of a prominent African-American by Barstool Sports?
Oh, well, Deion was very outraged by the clips of resist programming or whatever the fuck it was. Maybe he missed those.
I guess the only other Barstool news would be our good friend Steve Peralt going after the Minifans again.
This is
very, very bizarre to me.
Do you think he was... I don't think he was joking this time.
No, I don't think he was joking at all, because he made sure to clarify that... he's not calling Kirk Minahan a loser. He's calling the Minifans a loser.
That's always
and we'll note that this was as part of his robust defense of Alex Verdugo, who more likely than not filmed via Snapchat the abuse of a minor girl.
Yeah, but as Carabas pointed out, what am I supposed to do? Ask him about it?
Well, I've got the audio. I think we can play it.
What do we got on Alex Verdugo?
Love Alex Verdugo. Love the energy. Love the passion. Love the pop. Right. Even though he went 1-for-8 over the weekend.
Cool. All right. That's 3:40, and we'll be back. What day are we back?
We are gonna see you later in the week.
Am I missing the joke there? I don't get it.
I guess the joke is that they're They're joking that they're afraid to talk about Alex Verdugo.
Okay.
And then saying, like, we're not afraid to talk about it, but then not really talking about it, I guess.
Okay.
Right.
Wouldn't want to cuff you.
No, I'm just kidding. We can talk about Verdugo.
I think Peralta didn't play along and did not get it.
I don't think he got what Cronus was trying to do. I really wasn't sure what was going on there.
It seems way late to make that. And the only thing I could think of is now that the season started, Karabas is getting a lot of tweets from Minifans.
Anytime he tweets about Verdugo.
So in Karabas's head, that's very relevant.
But to most people, it's not.
That's my guess.
You have to understand that they're living in a state of fear because the Minifans have a little extra free time these days.
All in on Verdugo. I really am. I really am all in on Verdugo. And I know that they're like, I don't think it's like split, but there's definitely some people that are like, I'm iffy
there's
about
pushback.
Him. Yeah, because like, well, mostly, most of the pushback, I think, are like Kirk Minahan listeners because.
Yeah, there's a lot of the pushback's a lot from losers, also known as Kirk Minahan listeners.
Yeah. Oh, Steve.
Yeah, these losers that are calling out a potential witness of a rape and filming and not saying anything about it.
This guy is a scumbag. And just because he can swing a bat well and he's got fast reflexes or something, I mean, I would consider it the highest form of compliment that the guy who wants to swallow a load from Alex Verdugo is calling you guys a loser. But you know what? Do with that what you will. I'm sure Mr. Peralta is available on social media.
I am willing, maybe some would say too much. I'm willing to concede the point that we don't know what happened there with Alex Verdugo. We don't know the whole story. We weren't there. But there's potential that he witnessed a sexual assault, filmed it, and never reported it or anything. So you're such a fucking Red Sox jock-sniffing asshole that you're a loser if you call that out. I mean, sure, people on Twitter may beat you over the head with it, that you see it all the time, but the reason for that is they think a sexual assault was filmed by a guy who served no suspension or penalty for it at all. Like, it's not...
I mean, I understand that, I guess, in their mind, this comes as part of some... irrational vendetta that Kirk has against the Red Sox for that long history. But there are other people who were concerned about Verdugo's conduct. Like there's that journalist who originally was writing about it. I forget what her name is. She wouldn't come on the show, but she was like from Pennsylvania and she was just a baseball writer. There was broad concern when it happened. And also when he signed with the Red Sox, there was some renewed focus on it. And then later on, we don't need to play it, but Karabas gets into, I'm not a journalist. I just react to the news. And what can I say? He was cleared. And I was like, well, you know, O.J. Simpson was cleared too. You know,
like,
that's just like some fucking technicality that you're going to rely on and not offer any further commentary on it.
I get what Karabas is saying is that Karabas does a baseball podcast every fucking day. He just does Starting Nine. He does this.
No, I understand.
Well, every time Alex Verdugo comes up, you can't have this discussion. You know, if you're talking about the guy hitting a game-winning home run,
I totally get that from his perspective. I totally get that.
My issue is more Peralta saying you're a loser if you bring that up. A, because calling that out is just going to make the Minifans do it every fucking day 10 times more. But B, it's what I say about all the time with like Epstein or any of these cases. It's like, if you think there's a problem there, you should talk about it every day. Like if you think Alex Verdugo got away with a crime, you should bring that up every day.
And oh, by the way, that there was a conspiracy within the MLB to kind of sweep it under the rug and, you know, promote this guy who's going to, you know, make some owners money.
Yeah. And that the Red Sox, who have a history of this fake wokeness, are doing it again, where they put the Black Lives Matter sign up and say they care about that, but when there's a potential sexual assault issue within their own clubhouse, they ignore it.
And it wouldn't be the first time.
No, certainly not.
So I think that's just about all that I had to get to. I don't know. Do you have any YouTube shows coming up this week? Anything you need to promote?
Actually, tonight. Will this be out today?
I was gonna post this at midnight, actually.
Oh, okay. Well, then it's already up, folks. You can see Last Resort. Me, Allison, and Tara are really fixing your relationship problems, pal. They're calling this the new Call Her Daddy with one fat asshole that is unnecessary. And the cheer show with Chris, on Thursday. And big Mike and the Minifan news this weekend.
Oh, yeah?
I don't want to completely spoil, but I'll just say, if you were tuned into 89.5 WSKB in the early 2010s.
Oh boy, I can see where this is heading.
There may be a little treat for you Saturday night on the YouTube channel.
Is this a Dirty Mike and the Boys reunion?
There may be a little reunion of sorts happening.
Excellent. Well, you know what? Now I think is the perfect time for the Warthog to launch a robust defense of himself because he's been slandered.
That's a good point.
In the last couple of shows that have gone out on the Kirk Minahan Show RSS feed, he has had his honor attacked.
Yes, and I'm sure as only a Mike Geary protege can do, he will defend himself with great
charisma. Sure
he'll be very articulate.
Sure, great charisma. And,
yeah, confident.
All right. Well, so that's the update from us. If we get more information, we'll come back in here and we'll do another one of these. And you know, if Kirk thinks that the Minifans are looking to have a little bit more of the Mike and Steve show, maybe we'll come back in here and do something. But until then, what was it? Take care.
Good luck.
Take care of yourself.
Hope all is well.
Hope all is well. Well, look at the two of us putting in an honest 45 minutes worth of work, finally.
The old doubleheader. We're back, baby.
So what happened was we taped a little update today, walked out of the studio to go get some lunch, and then we listened to Barstool Bets, and Dave Portnoy is back from vacation and finally solved a deep mystery here at the Kirk Minahan Show, but something that we've been pondering about after the that infamous Kate essay.
Not even
China.
That. I thought I knew who it was. I thought it was just Kay Marco.
Yeah, I think we all thought it was Kay Marco, you know, Portnoy's tweet to the contrary, notwithstanding. But so it just to set the stage a little bit for people, because this was, I guess, 2 or 3 weeks ago now, Kate from Barstool wrote this epically dumb essay about Senator Hawley and his rebuke of China. And she referred to Chinese violations of human rights that probably on a scale that we haven't seen since the Holocaust as, quote, that China thing. And so, I mean, we criticized her for it. I don't think it got too personal. I don't think Kirk ever got personal with her or anything.
No.
We just kind of criticized her ideas.
Even she admitted she got very sensitive about it. She overreacted to it, probably. And I don't think it was the Minifans. She was getting shit from Minifans, but at the time, I don't think it was exclusively Minifans.
No,
it was just Barstool fans.
It was Stoolies across the board, and I also think it was a fair amount of just, like, Trump people and Hawley's defenders. I mean, she waged into politics, and so she was facing a different level of political criticism. And then we basically kind of resolved the situation. I mean, there was that tweet from Portnoy about, people complaining to him, to management. Yeah. And you know, we kind of speculated that that was Kay Marco, because obviously Kay Marco's a bitch and would have reason to complain about Kirk. But then we did the Sacco show and we asked Kate kind of, hey, do you want to have some kind of, you know, contribution to this, that, like, I guess Minifan outreach, you know, they might see it and laugh and, oh, she's in on the joke and not, you know, torment you every time you ever poke your head up on the internet. And she did it. And I thought it was funny.
Yeah. She was cool about it. It seemed like everything was fine. This was a thing that got overblown, maybe in the history of the show, the most overblown thing, because before Kate said, oh, the Minifans are attacking me, I don't think the Minifans were attacking her that much. But even she kind of acknowledged that. So it was pretty much water under the bridge.
Yeah, I mean, we did. There was the, I think Kirk and I both retweeted it and just kind of scoffed at her. And then we talked about it on the show. But yeah, I mean, she did something dumb.
Yeah.
And people came at her on the internet. And the Minifans became kind of like a scapegoat for her receiving criticism for doing something dumb.
Right.
So, then we kind of bury the hatchet with the video at the Sacco show, which, by the way, I'm going to let the Minifans know that there was a little Easter egg hidden in her video that she did.
Hmm.
You might need to find someone who can translate the Mandarin subtitles that appeared on her video, because there's a little hidden message there for you. But so now Portnoy goes on Barstool Bets. He's back from vacation and he's got the laundry list of grievances. And right at the top is calling out Brandon Walker, who is Kate's partner on their college football show. And they do the Good Morning Sunshine, a couple other things.
Yeah, yeah,
but they're kind of, they're kind of like a content pair, a content couple at Barstool. And so now it turns out that, our good friend B-Walk, who was at one point in time going to do the 80s nostalgia podcast with Kirk. And I thought they had,
he was in the inner circle.
Yeah, he was. I mean, I think they hit it off
to the point where
Super Bowl.
He was a guy that I think Kirk said, he goes, you know what? I was wrong about Brandon Walker. Originally,
yeah.
He thought he was snubbing you guys or something.
Well,
you both did. And I didn't think so. Maybe I was wrong.
Well, I think Kirk made a lot of comments before we went to the office about, well, geez, Brandon Walker's getting a lot of promotion, huh? They're promoting him to the moon. Yeah. And I'm sure Brandon heard that. And then when we met him at the Barstool headquarters that one time we've been there.
He was cold or something.
Yes, yes. But I guess he played it off as that's just, you know, had his southern goofy demeanor.
Yeah.
But so we've got a couple of cuts to play and we can get into it. Some of them I think are funnier. I mean, I think this is Portnoy in it at his finest, really. And I think that the Mina fans...
he wasn't brought in for this. It was Rico Bosco. And yeah. This just triggered... Brandon being there triggered his memory, it seems like.
Yeah, and I think that the Mina fans will be very pleased to see how Dave Portnoy describes them. But I'll just kind of start at the top, and then we can react to it as we go along.
You don't like me from that.
What happened?
Yeah.
He's a little girl. That's what happened.
I'm not a little girl.
Yeah, he is. Brandon Walker's a little girl. There's a lot of people getting that comeuppance around here. You're one of them.
I'm getting comeuppance.
Yeah.
Brandon Walker's getting comeuppance.
Brandon Walker, little baby. Baby Brandon.
Oh. How am I a baby?
You know how you're a baby.
I know how I'm a baby.
Do you
want
to say how you're a baby?
Yeah, I'll say I'm a baby.
Say it.
I'll say I'm a baby. When a couple of weeks ago, Kate was under fire from Mina fans, I was like, hey, Dave, Kate's under fire.
No, you didn't.
Oh, no, you're right. You're right. I said, hey, Erica.
You didn't.
But that's not. See.
Sent a little text, Erica, hey, is management going to step in? Guy's been here for fucking 5 minutes beating people up in the office.
I haven't been here 5 minutes.
Hey, we got to fucking prevent bad feelings getting hurt. Shut the fuck. When I saw that, vomit came out.
Well, I sent it to Erica. You know why I didn't send it to you?
Oh, we need a step in. She wrote a blog. Mina fan had a thing. He's got crazy fans. Welcome to the world.
I just thought that maybe...
Hey, when's management going to step in and protect people? You beat somebody up out there and you're still fucking
here. I pushed him once.
That's the best part.
The best part is about 12 minutes through the entire thing. I mean, sorry, 12 times through the entire thing. Portnoy says you beat somebody up, which is true. He committed assault in the workplace. But you can watch the full video. We retweeted it from the show account. You can watch the entire segment. But, I mean, it turns out that Brandon Walker is the one who was asking management to step in and protect Kate, among others, from the Mina fans.
The worst part for Brandon is I know a good nickname when I hear one. And I think baby Brandon's going to stick. It's alliteration. It's quick. It's perfect. Like, that'll be, even when people like him again, if Brandon and Kirk, it'll be baby Brandon forever. That's just what it's going
to
be.
I was on the way over and I was trying to think of a good hashtag. Like, because if Kirk was here, this is how he would respond. We'd be live on YouTube right now and getting something trending, you know, nationally.
Maybe Brent.
And I was, I was a lot worse than that. I was thinking, bad haircut, Brandon.
You're the Biden of these instances. Trump is, Portnoy is Trump. But that is,
Hashtag beats people up, Brandon.
At least he kind of admits he was being a pussy in all this. Like, I think that might, that might end up saving him a little bit, but it is.
So,
there's an element of white knighting here.
Exactly. Whereas what it is.
If it was anyone else, I'm trying to think, if it was Marty Mush or Dana, he would not have stepped in and said, hey, can we get an adult in here?
No,
can we get
not
a supervisor?
And I think,
not.
I mean, obviously he knows Kate better than we do, but the idea that someone who was a Marine and toured in Afghanistan would need, Brandon Walker to step up for them in a workplace dispute is, I think, offensive.
It
should be offensive. It's misogynistic, really.
And if you have that much of an issue with it, I mean, I don't think they're particularly close, but they have each other's numbers. Kirk and Brandon have texted before. If you have an issue with it, fucking text Kirk and say, hey, could you lay off? Kate's growing through some shit, whatever. You don't need mom and dad to step in. Like, what
also,
the fuck?
Also, hey, I mean, he's got my phone number. He could say, hey, can I get some time on the Kirk Minahan show to defend my partner, Kate? And I'm pretty sure.
No, you don't do it on air. You do it behind the scenes. Yeah. You go to management and try to get people in trouble.
So I think that's the other thing of it is that really got Portnoy upset was not just the discrepancy between the guy who beat somebody up in the office asking for protection from nasty tweets, but was also that he went to Erica instead of to Dave.
It did seem like that, although I think if Brandon texted Portnoy that, he would have gotten the same thrash.
What do you think, management, if we were like, hey, Minifans, stop picking on fucking Kate. That'll go over well.
I have no fucking idea. I don't know what was going to happen.
What was in your ideal world... could management do, even if we wanted to,
you never,
prevent the Mina fans and Kirk Minahan?
You never know.
So, I mean, that's an obvious point. I mean,
of course.
First of all, I mean, Dave Portnoy is where he is because he understands how the internet works better than 99.999% of people. And I really, there's no good answer to that question of what Walker thought the resolution would be.
I think like, eventually
is he going to threaten to fire Kirk?
I guess the logic would be that Dave and Erica are close enough or have the standing in the company that they could have said to Kirk, hey, lay off. And in Brandon's mind, Kirk would have. I don't know if he – maybe he just doesn't know how the show works. I don't think he listens that often.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, but, he obviously doesn't know how the show works, but he also just doesn't know how like all, a rabid fan base works, you know?
Oh, of
like,
course not.
It's yeah.
But for him to have seen – he's seen – and he kind of defended – you remember that thing he said about Kay Marco?
He just said he made
a college football show.
Yeah, it was while we were on vacation, he made just some kind of snide remark about an editor who actually edits.
Yeah, and then he said it's a direct shot. So he was shitting on Kay Marco, who he knows dealt with a lot of shit on Twitter. I think Barstool eventually, as long as Kirk is here for a certain period of time, it will be in two camps. It'll be people that love the Minifans and interact with them and people who don't go on Twitter. That's all it'll be. Like Brandon, now you won't see him on Twitter. You'll post blogs, and that'll be it for the next 3 weeks.
The great purifying effect. So now I think we're going to get to the audio that is going to stick in the.
He'll
in
regret saying this. I think if he doesn't already, I've seen. Yeah,
I think that this
shit
is,
on Twitter.
I think this is going to be pretty bad for him.
Could management do, even if we wanted to,
you never,
prevent the Minifans and Kirk Minahan?
You never know.
Let me tell you something, Kirk Minahan. He's fucking crazy.
Right.
I like
but
him.
But you never know what's going on with somebody mentally. So I saw Kate Sweets. I was like,
but, all right, fine.
Well, yeah.
But apparently, some people aren't able to take mental timeouts.
Well, okay,
so there we go.
Brandon, if you don't know what's going on with someone mentally, maybe shut the fuck up. You know what I mean? Like, why not give both sides that credence? And also, this was not a thing. Whatever was going on with Kate, it was not triggered by the show. The show never said, go attack Kate. And the thing going on with Kirk was not triggered by the show or Twitter or any of that stuff. So shut the fuck up. Obviously, Brandon doesn't know what he's talking about. Like, maybe he's older than me. I don't know if he's like an old school Southern type of guy that doesn't get what mental health is. Maybe he just thinks the silly little ladies deal with mental health problems, but maybe he should just shut the fuck up about it because obviously he doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about.
And the other thing is he's wrong because I think anybody at the company could take mental health leave. Like Barstool Barstool is a modern enough company where you could take a few weeks off for mental health. You don't have to have like a cancer diagnosis to take a little bit of time off. I mean, the company handbook says we have unlimited time off. So I think like within reason, if you were really suffering with something, I think like based on my experience with Erica and through Kirk's situation, I think Brandon Walker, if he wanted to, could take some time off for his mental health. Kate could take some time off for her mental health. So it just... It's
I would
not,
also
it's
assume
not
that
true
policy
at all.
That policy is not based on longevity of the company or how much money you make or anything
no.
like that. That would be insane, first of all. So I don't know that for sure. It's never been I didn't read the handbook really. I mean, yes, I did, of course. But
well,
I don't know.
You had Alba read it to you.
Yes,
too,
exactly.
Too fast.
I genuinely don't know if I could just say, hey, I'm going through some stuff, but I imagine I could, right?
Yeah, I mean, you have to face Kirk and do it that way,
right?
You know, and
that's really my yeah. So probably, I'm in a different position.
Yeah, I mean, you are in a slightly different position, but even Kirk, I think, would be understanding enough to say, "Look, yeah, take some time off, like get healthy." But you know, it's a stupid thing to say. And at first, when I saw the Deke Zucker quote, I was like, you know what, I could be Team Brandon in this situation because it was a dumb thing to do, but you work with somebody all the time and, you know, you've got this good relationship with him and she's kind of like his, you know, work wife or whatever. And you see her taking all kinds of shit and she's upset. So you want to step in and be her defender or something like that. And I initially was thinking, oh, you know, it could be a chivalrous instinct, but this comment, like taking a swipe at Kirk for being on mental health leave comes from a place of just like real, like meanness, like
petty ignorance.
Yeah. But I mean, what he was trying to do there, I think, was, I mean, you said earlier he was kind of like flailing under the hot spot.
He's getting called a pussy, and he's like, I don't want to look like too much of a pussy, so let me throw a joke in about, or a dig in about
that. Yeah, it wasn't even a joke. It was just a very mean and nasty thing for him to say. And the other thing is, in the run-up to the Sacco show, you know, presumably after he had, you know, reached out to Erica to try to get, you know, a Minifan defense plan put into place, we had solicited him to do a video like what Kate did, which was very funny, and all the Minifans enjoyed it. And now all the Minifans, they're fine with Kate. They recognize she did something stupid. But and Brandon said, you know, yeah, I'll do something for you. And he even had me send Kate's video along, so he saw what she was doing, and then just never heard back from her.
Oh, it got that far, and he still goes to do.
Yeah. So
it's
strange. Yeah, and I mean, we had plenty of lead up time to just do like a simple iPhone video where, I mean, he could have said, hey, Minif fans, like, can you leave Kate alone or something? I don't know. He could have come up with something funny, but
there's a million ways. I mean, first of all, I think if Brandon talked to Kate about it and said, hey, I'm going to ask that management step in, I think she would say, please don't fucking do that. I don't know Kate well enough. Maybe I'm dead wrong. But
yeah,
it
neither
seems
do I. Like, I mean, I don't know.
I don't think anyone would want management to step in on their behalf, because if you know fucking anything about the radio or podcasting world or fucking social media, that makes it a hell of a lot worse.
Yeah, being sensitive or angry online just doesn't work out for you.
Of course.
But you know, I don't know what else there is to say. I mean,
that was disappointing. I'd be curious to hear what Kirk's reaction was. Maybe we're overstating how serious it would be, but that would annoy me if I was away and heard Brandon, who I thought was kind of a friend. I mean,
it's
I don't want to overstate how close they are, but
it's two-faced is what it is.
Completely.
You know, and it comes from somebody who's like, you know, wants to be this Southern gentleman, and I really thought was. And we had a good, I mean, he did a video with you when we were down in Miami, and I thought,
yeah, he was nice enough
I thought that everything was good, but this to be kind of, your back's up against the wall, the founder of the company, like, you're not getting fired over this, you're just going to get made fun of. And to take just a mean-spirited shot like that is, you know, it's two-faced and it's
shitty.
Small.
And you know what? I think at one point Portnoy says, what would we have done? Explain to me what Erica and I would have done in that situation.
You know what? I think maybe we just call up Erica and ask if she can tell Brandon.
Erica, what do we do here?
No. Could you tell Brandon not to be mean to Kirk?
Yeah, that was very mean.
You know, all the Walker.
Steve and I have decided.
All the Walker fans. All the Walker fans are tormenting us online right now. So could you intervene? But actually, you know what? We'll learn from Brandon's mistake and we'll just go right to Portnoy. I'm sure if I texted Portnoy right now and I was like, I got Blind Mike and Steve Robinson here in studio. And
Dave, got a few questions for you. Yeah. Let me fire away.
All we're asking for is consistency.
But the other reason it's shitty is because the implication by going to manage would be that he would be suspended or fired or something. Is that what you want management to do?
No, but see, there's no real next step, I don't think.
No.
So I just don't think it was a clearly a well thought out thing, and I don't know, maybe they can rebuild their friendship over some 1980s nostalgia at some point.
Yes, I'm sure that's going to happen now.
But I mean, geez, that's not a good look for the man formerly known as B-Walk, now known as Baby Brandon.
Earlier in the podcast, I said the Minifans need an enemy. I feel like I don't know if Brandon's that enemy, but I feel like their time will definitely be occupied for the next few days.
I'd agree. All right, here's a little bit more from the serious segment.
Well, by the way, I didn't want to stop that, but if I could, how would you?
If I knew how
because
to do
there
it,
there is
I would have
no
done.
Way to stop a Minifan attack. As far as I know, it's once it gets going, you just live through it.
You just live through it, and Kate got through it. Kate went through it like a champion. So I'm the one that was the bitch in the situation.
Right, correct.
Correct. And I'm telling you that.
Yes, correct.
It's good that we're getting this out though now, Brandon.
This is nice.
Fucking middleman Dan.
Yeah, and another,
this is good for you.
Another low-key moment, though, is I think this is the first time that Big Cat and Portnoy have been on Sirius Radio, like in the same room, since the entire Trump thing, right?
Oh, at least in over a month, yeah,
yeah.
Since
so
June.
This might have been their first opportunity to air whatever grievances they're still holding.
I don't think that came up.
Yeah, no, I don't think it came up either. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out for Mr. Walker. But
yeah, he was hoping it went away. Brandon almost got very lucky because we forgot that even happened. Portnoy was away. Kirk's away right now.
Yeah, there's some bigger developments.
We almost forgot this ever even fucking happened. And then Portnoy comes back like a fucking madman and just calls him right out on it. So good for him for remembering,
so
I guess.
As someone who has been on the end of some Barstool Radio shellackings from Dave Portnoy, how would you rate B-Walk's performance?
So in the moment, like in that room, I think he did okay, but he's going to regret a couple things based on the tweets I've already seen, and I assume that he's going to continue to get after more Minifans pick up on this. He did a better job than me, but I don't know if that's the scale that Brendan Walker wants to work on.
I think that there are some good drops from Portnoy that will be incorporated into the show.
There's no way to stop a Minifan attack.
That's true.
That also tells me that the Minifans are occupying an even greater piece of real estate in Dave Portnoy's brain.
Actually,
and Barstool generally.
That's wrong, though. There is a way. Do what Kate did, you know?
Yeah, I suppose.
And that's kind of if Ellie or K, maybe not that level, maybe not Ellie or K Marco. Well, maybe not K Marco.
I think
if Ellie played along, that might have let things die down. So there is a way.
I think you've got like your sinners, your saints, and your savables. Yeah. And there's a couple of people who have just, you know, kind of gone into the irredeemable category, like Ellie and K Marco. But I mean, there's plenty of people. I mean, like Robbie. Like Robbie just came on and had it out, fought it out, and people are fine with him. Like it's not like the Minifans are just this irrational, monolithic thing that just wants to attack people on the internet. And let's get back to the original, which was that they had a legitimate complaint about someone glossing over human rights abuses on a truly horrifying scale. Like the original sin here was never addressed by Brandon.
Right.
You know, I mean, and even Kate admitted what she wrote was really stupid.
And Big Cat says in there that Brandon kind of hoped this one away. He goes, you don't think Portnoy is going to remember that, right? So everyone was kind of, or at least Brandon was kind of hoping everyone forgot about this. And unfortunately, they didn't. And it's going to, and the worst part for Brandon is that the Minifans don't really have marching orders.
I know. They got so much free time.
So who knows what the fuck they're going to... I don't know what they're going to do. Sorry, B-Walk. I don't know what the fuck they're capable of. I can't lead these people.
I'm just as scared of them as you are, man. What the fuck?
So good luck. Maybe stay off Twitter for a couple of days.
Turn the comments off on your Barstool Bets streaming platform.
Oh, Jesus. That's all he does is Periscope.
Yeah.
I forgot. Oh, that's going to be brutal. Oh, the poor bastard.
Well, good luck with that, Brandon. And we'll see you in the next update, I guess, unless you got anything else.
Well, unless you want to go viral. I don't know if it would go as viral as Ben Shapiro, but I think you reading the lyrics of Wet Ass Pussy would be...
Okay. All right.
All right. Goodbye.
No, I'll do
it. You'll do it?
Yeah, I'll do it. I'll do it.
Well, that's fun.
Do I... Google's wet ass pussy.
That's my favorite part.
Sorry. Wet ass pussy lyrics.
This will really bring everyone together.
So should I just take it from the top?
Yeah, I guess so.
Whores in this house. There's some whores in this house. There's some whores in this house. There's some whores in this house. Hole up. I said certified freak 7 days a week. Wet ass pussy make that pullout game weak. Woo ah. Yeah. Yeah, you fucking some wet-ass pussy. Bring a bucket and a mop for this wet-ass pussy. Give me everything you got for this wet-ass pussy. Beat up a catch a charge, extra large and extra hard. Put this pussy right in your face. Swipe your nose like a credit card. Hop on top, I want to ride. I do a Kegel while it's inside. Spit in my mouth, look in my eyes. This pussy is wet, come take a dive. Tie me up like I'm surprised. Let's role play, I'll wear a disguise. I want you to park that big Mack truck right in this little garage. Make it cream, make me scream. Out in public, make a scene. I don't cook, I don't clean, but let me tell you how I got this ring. Aye. Is there something a little further? Gobble me, swallow me, drip down the side of me. Quick jump out for you, let it get inside of me. I tell him where to put it. Never tell him where I'm about to be. I'll run down him for I have a running on me. Talk your shit, bite your lip. Ask for a car while you ride that dick. You really ain't never gotta fuck him for a thing. He already made up his mind before he came. Now get your boots and your coat, this wet-ass pussy. Uh-huh. Are people actually listening to this?
I don't know why, if anyone will enjoy that, but I did. Ben Shapiro doing that got like 70 million views for some reason.
Look, I need a hard hitter, need a deep stroker, need a Henny drinker, need a weed smoker, not a garter snake. I need a King Cobra with a hook in it. Hope it lean over. He got some money. Then that's where I'm headed. And you know, the thing is, just a few months ago, Kirk was arguing that there's no use for poetry. You know? Right. I think this really...
In certain settings.
I think this really kind of speaks to something deep in the human soul.
Yeah, that's how...
You know, you fucking some wet-ass pussy. So is that why Ben was reading it?
Yes.
I know he's a learned man.
Well, why can people say lyrics like this, and yet other people... Trump can't tweet whatever he wants. I think that was the logic behind Ben Shapiro reading it.
Oh, why Cardi B and the President of the United States are held to different standards public communication.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay, that's great. Well, we're all very upset on the internet today. I hope all the Minifans appreciated some WAP.
I think so. I think they will. I did anyway, so maybe no one else did.
Well, as long as we're happy. All right. So I'll probably release this a little bit early, and you've got your YouTube show tonight.
Yes, sir.
So we got dating advice.
Yes.
And then a full YouTube schedule from you, which we already went over early in the show. So we'll just sign off. All right.
This was pretty reprehensible. I don't know how it can be anybody's idea of humor.